This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It is TGIBPF. I did it there. Got it right. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday, Johnny Lupinacci. I know you were waiting for me to flub that, man.
No, man. I mean, I wait all week for you to drop your favorite acronym, and then you nail it, man. There's only a couple times where you jumbled the letters, but you know what? It's good to keep us on our toes, and it doesn't matter what order those letters actually come in. It gets us to the same thing. It's Friday. We're here chopping it up. This is going to be an extra fun Friday.
Absolutely.
Because you've got a little bit of trivia for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Trivia, man. You know what we don't need any questions or quizzes on is who sponsors Busted Pencils. It's Monocle Brewing Company, who are big-time advocates of public education and are always working hard to build community and make great beer. Monocle Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out monoclebrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Tim, oh. Thinking for days.
Are you ready?
What's it going to be?
You Tim ready? You ready?
Tim Bomb a couple weeks ago with some trivia on it was a blast.
Okay.
So he said, producer Jess, she has a knack for finding and seeing the greatness in Tim, our sandpaper finish. She finds a shine. And she said, Tim, that was magic. Let's do trivia once a week. So here we are.
Here we
Friday,
are.
Friday, the Tim Bomb of the day. Trivia time. Tim, hit us.
Hey, it is ready. We are ready to go. And people watching on the Twitter, on the Facebook and stuff, you can see what is at stake tonight. Another Busted Pencils t-shirt there, Johnny Lupinacci, for the first person to call in accurately and give us the answer. Jess, you got a comment there? I looked like you were going, but like, hey, wait, where's my t-shirt? Hey,
I do Busted Pencils, t-shirt. Though. When do I get one?
Fully, you will get one. 855-752-4842. Put that number out there right away, because I know some people are like, wait, what's the number? I need to call. Hey, do that. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. The question, the trivia is here today. The use of a submarine in a military setting, the date. What was the date of the first use of a submarine for a military excursion? And what was the name of that submarine, if you can figure that out? So, yeah, we're looking for the first use of a submarine in a military engagement. And then the date that that happened and the name of that submarine. That's what we're putting out there today. So that's it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Tim's trivia. First submarine used. The name of the first submarine that was used in a military excursion and the date that that use occurred. If you can call in, first person to call in, it's your Busted Pencils t-shirt. And if you're going like, what do they look like? Hey, jump on the Twitter, jump on the Facebook, jump on the YouTube. You can see right now, I'm modeling one right now. I will not give you the one off my back unless somebody has a special request for that. We could possibly do that. But yeah, so
there's
it is.
There's paperwork you have to sign for that.
there's all kinds of red tape involved in that. Tim, this Johnny, is a couple minutes of recap. So what we're looking for here in today's Tim's trivia is that you would like us to know, which by the way, I have no idea. So I'm gonna be part of this probing to figure out like what kind of clues you might be able to drop that might help our listeners. So we're looking for the date of the first used submarine in combat, and the name of that submarine. My guess is it's got some kind. I think I might know the name.
Okay,
but I don't know. I have no idea where. So I'll hold that back. But I think it's I want to say. It's a particular kind of animal that's named after. Maybe I remember flipping through picture books in elementary school and seeing this.
I see the noggin working there, man. I can see it working.
But I'm not sure.
I got nothing.
I'm not just saying this, but I do love submarines. Now, I would never be in one nor go in one, but it's a cool concept and it's kind of cool to think about, you know, by land or by water.
It's, you know, it's the coolest thing when take place. Yeah, when we have this and we reveal everything, though, it is a cool one of those human, again, another interest story that is like, whoa, who knew? And I tell you, I'm trying to pull most of these from the things that excited my fifth graders when I was teaching social studies to fifth graders. These are these stories and little, you know, I don't know if obscure facts, but, you know, kind of way of understanding things that really lit history up for them is then we would dig into these types of, you know, instead of worrying about all, you know, the date of the Declaration of Independence, I was like, we would put out these cool things. Remember last one, Pickett's Charge, July 3rd, last week, we got that in there, Pickett's Charge. But now today, yeah, the name of the first submarine and the date it was used in a military endeavor, a battle, or, you know, something out there. And then, you know, what was that military adventure? 855-752-4842.
Oh, you're adding stuff to it now, man.
Well, I said the date and name gets you the t-shirt. Date and name gets you the t-shirt. You know, anybody wants to throw it in there, though, can throw in a little bit after. Tom and New Berlin, Civil War, I think it was on the Mississippi, forgot the name. Tom, no.
It's got to be
early. It is not. Not the Civil War. So there's our first attempt right there. It is not the Civil War.
Could a submarine go in the Mississippi River? Would that work?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, you know, are you talking about the current or the depth or
the
both?
The depth. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. There's spots in that river that are incredibly deep. And when you're talking about submarine, how far down do you think it has to go?
Is that a hint?
Potentially. Yeah. All right. So, John, back to though, there's the question. It's out there. First caller coming in with it, name and the date, and you get a Busted Pencils t-shirt is for you. Man, here we are, though, again, Friday coming in, and Joe Biden, it has not relented. There are still continued calls for the president to kind of walk away from the new election that's coming up, kind of take a walk around the, you know, the stadium, admire, love, take all the admiration, job well done, and step out, open it up to another candidate. In fact, today, $90 million in donations from multiple donors have been put on hold, trying to convince President Biden that you should step down. Yesterday in his press conference, different ways people reacted. He, you know, didn't flub as many times as they thought. And I think even just that, though, when you're saying it's like, well, he didn't flub as many times. So now we're looking at that. However, earlier in the day, before the press conference where he held, he introduced Vladimir Zelensky from Ukraine as President Putin.
Yeah, these are not good looks, yes, man. And you know, again, I'm going to come back to here we are. We're days after when we should have been talking about this, not just us discussing this. But I mean, like, come on, this is really where we're at. We can't figure this out. So glad to hear people are saying, let's hold the money. Let's figure this out. But somebody send that memo directly to my man so that he can, you know, we can figure this out, because it shouldn't be as awkward as it continues to be every day, where we're like, really? This is the best. I said it yesterday. Both parties should be asking this question of themselves, you know. But if it's going to be what it's going to be with Donald Trump being the Republican candidate, you know, then so be it. But I think most of us have a really vested interest in the beliefs that and the principles and the political framework that Joe, you know, has been, you know, representing. And I think we can do better. And I think that's what a lot of people are saying. So I would like to see someone just give the guy the nod to say, like, hey, man, you don't have to go down swinging. There's this thing called humility. That's actually a strong value. There's this whole thing where you could say, hey, I'm surrounded by really good people. They got this. Support them, you know, and campaign to the fullest of your ability in that support. On that level, I mean, we remember like President Obama doing this kind of thing. Right. It's like being able to say, like, hey, man, I know lots of people are saying, like, oh, we want more Obama. It's like, okay, come on, man. I did my time and I've got great people around me. So let's go. Let's move forward with that. So I would like to see that sooner than later, please. We're way overdue on it. But let's go already. Tim, where are we at with this trivia, man?
I don't know. I'm thinking right now. I see Jess, producer Jess, is on the phone.
We have a clue for callers. We have a clue. We know that it is named after an animal. I'm pretty sure I remember also now being in a history lesson around. You helped me when you said fifth grade because I remember looking through pictures and I can visualize this thing. Tell me if I'm right. It kind of reminded me. It kind of looks like a submersible grenade. Am I remembering the right thing? It's a tiny kind of capsule.
I think yeah, you might be getting closer, Johnny Lupin.
But I know it's earlier than the Civil War, right? So we have the Civil War comment from Tom from New Berlin. He said, this is, you know, he thinks it was used in the Civil War. And you said, no, not the Civil War. So I'm going to go on the under. It is older than the Civil War. Like submarines appeared in our U.S. history, you know, battles pre-Civil War.
All right. And right there, we got our first caller. I could see Jess right there. Jess, who we got on the line, Jess?
We've got Rita from Hartford.
All right. Rita, what's happening? Rita, you got an answer for the trivia question?
I sure do. It was a one-man submarine in the Revolutionary War. The Turtle was they were trying to attach it to a British ship.
You got the date. You got the date.
That I can't remember the date. I got the.
Rita,
Tim? This is fascinating.
She is absolutely right. It was the Turtle. Was the name of the submersible. People watching right now can see him holding up a picture of what it looks like, of what it did look like. This is one of the scale drawings, and it was used during the Revolutionary War. People are like, whoa, really? Submarines in the Revolutionary War? Yeah. Unlike President Trump last year that tried to talk about taking over airports during the Revolutionary War, there was a submarine in the Revolutionary War. It was called the Turtle, and it went after a British ship. We're going to hold Rita on this, though.
Let's keep, because she's close, man. She's pretty close. Let's keep her on.
Rita, you know, do a little Googling, and let's get you back when we come back from the break. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education and talking trivia. Turtle, Revolutionary War. When? More when we get back. Yeah, there it is. Busted Pencil, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. TGI, BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Tim's trivia to start the show. What was the name of the first submarine used in a combat? What combat was that? Rita called in. She got it. Revolutionary War, the Turtle, an attack on the British. Still looking for a date. Jess, we still got Rita. Rita. You able to figure out the date?
Yeah.
Okay, give it
September
to us.
September 7th, 1776.
There it is. Ding, 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 ding. Rita, superb. September 7th, 1776 in New York Harbor, going after the British ship HMS Eagle. It was a submersible called a submarine. It would literally dive under the bottom of the boat. And if you look at this thing, it had like a little hand corkscrew where it would get under the boat. It would drill into the bottom of the HMS Eagle, set an explosive in that hole.
Oh, my gosh.
Paddle your way out, because this is all human propelled, and get the heck out of there before it blows up the ship. Now, Rita, please make sure Jess, we're getting her mailing information so she can get everything. So now, though, just throw this out there. So what happened on that day? Lupinacci, any thoughts?
No idea, man. Well, I'm guessing somebody paddled that little acorn grenade thing you're holding up for people who are watching on the stream. So the turtle gets paddled down, and they try and attach it to the boats. My guess is they attached it to, you know, a boat in the Royal Navy.
Yeah,
maybe sunk a ship. I mean, I have nothing on this. I have vague memories of a picture of this in a book, or, you know, a little fact about the Revolutionary War, one of those fun facts in U.S. histories that we learned about, you know, probably read a paragraph about in a book and answered some questions at the end of the chapter. Unfortunately, that was a lot of our social studies education. But hey, I'm glad that we're having this trivia. I'm glad Rita nailed it.
Yeah.
And Tim, tell us a little bit about it. I'm sure
this is the part. So they get it out there. They train and try to learn how to use it, because you can look at this, and anybody, you know, listener, if you're not able to watch the video, pull it up, take a look at this thing, because the number of different contraptions to make this thing work. There's a hand pump to pull in water, to push out water, to allow it to dive at certain ways. There's a foot pedal to give it propulsion as it's going through the water. You've got a hand crank above you and a hand crank in front of you for drilling into the enemy's boat. And then it's got a detachable charge, you know, gunpowder that would be put into that hole that you drill into the ship. And then you got to let go, get that going, and start cranking and get your way out of there. Got into the water. They did not realize that there were going to be currents, Jess. The currents, they trained without currents. And when they got out there, the ability to take this thing out to beneath the HMS Eagle, really, really, really hard. It only has 20 minutes of air. Uh-oh. It took them 2 hours to get out there, which meant they had to pop up a couple times to bring in air. When they finally did get to the HMS Eagle and submerged down, you know those wooden bottom ships? Mm-mm-mm. There was a little bit more of a protective coating on the HMS Eagle, and that corkscrew was not able to penetrate the hull of the ship, was not able to put the explosive charge in it. At this point, too, the British actually saw it. The turtle took off, dropped the charge. The charge floated away harmlessly out into the water, blew up. It was a massive failure. No ability to sink the HMS Eagle, the turtle, but it was the very first use of a submarine in a military excursion. Yeah, can you imagine sitting in that thing? It's like a little walnut that you're in. You're cranking it with your feet. You're pumping with your one hand. You're cranking the drill with the other hand. You're trying to move this, and you only have 20 minutes of breathable air while you're under the water doing this. Johnny, just too many factors, too many variables to make it a success. And the reality now, too, is there is not the original submersible, the turtle, has never been actually accounted for. There are remakes, there are models, but the actual one, it's a mystery. Where did it go? Can people find it? Is it on the bottom of New York Harbor? We don't know, but it was there. All together, though. So there it is, trivia.
There it trivia. Is. Prime listeners out there, find that original turtle. It's a missing historical artifact.
That would be. I tell you what, somebody actually finds that missing historical artifact, you get two t-shirts. Yeah, thanks, Jess. They got it exactly right. Hey, it's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. The number is 855-752-4842. Thank you for the trivia, Rita. Yes, you have a shirt coming in, and we'll have more next week. And then Johnny, yeah. So, you know, but President Biden, you keep saying, you know, is he, you know, he could take a victory lap right now, you know, and just enjoy. People can shower him with praise. I mean, yeah, I know. Every day he doesn't
sailed a long time ago. It's going to be more like it's time for you to please leave the building. I mean, there is a window which humility is the way, and that never closes. Like, he could still say, wow, you know, I really, you know, wanted to stay strong. I really want to always, you know, go out fighting for my country and for pride and for all these things. But you know what? I'm going to step back. And I think that window's obviously still open. But victory lap, Tim, I mean, I don't quite know if there is like the I think the victory lap window has closed. Can't spin this as like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing.
Well, LA Tom jumps right in there. Hey, everyone needs to stop with the Joe Biden exodus. He is winning. All that matters is Project 2025. Yeah.
Yeah.
He agrees with us.
Here's the thing. I agree with Tom. Even if he's winning, he's beating a lying, convicted criminal, out misogynist and racist person. Like, this is a losing day for democracy if we're basing our decision that based on the front runner is a few points ahead of a lying, convicted criminal who's an out, like, proud misogynist, you know, and racist. So this is a sad moment for America. I think we could do better on both parties. I think the Democrats have a stronger chance of even widening that gap. It would be a landslide to run somebody who better represents the diverse people of this country, better represents democracy and politics. We're going at it, though. We're still going. We love Tom's point. You know, he's bringing in the polls. We love the trivia today. And we're coming back with you, listeners. Stay with us. We're coming back because you know what? Next segment, we got some fun stuff ahead. We got some fun stuff with democracy in action. And we're going to really have some fun with the rest of Friday. So stay with us, listener. We'll catch you on the next side. Busted Pencils when we get back.
Flipped a finger to the King of England. Stole our country from the Indians. With God on our side and guns in our hand. Took it for
there it is. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah. TGI BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. What? There it is. The bell, Johnny Lupinacci. The bell. Or that used to be from Fantasy Island. The plane. But no, the bell. Democracy in action. Johnny Lupinacci, here's the deal. What I'm feeling for democracy in action tonight is actually Johnny Lupinacci telling us about what this democracy in action segment is all about. Every day, Johnny, you've been dropping some truth on us. Democracy in action, Johnny Lupinacci. What's it all about? Take it away, my friend.
Oh, gosh, Tim, you put me on the spot. I love that. You got Tim's trivia and you got today's democracy in action, me doing democracy in action. And it's exciting, Tim, because, you know, if you think back, I can tell you a little bit of the story. So, like, sit down, get yourself a cup of coffee and settle in because here comes a story. But, you remember you are asking me about democracy and about, you know, core democratic values. And I give you this definition because for listeners out there, reacquaintance to some of the things that I do is that I teach teachers specifically. I teach about democratic education, not just to teach democratically, but to teach young people in all your subject areas, core democratic values and to practice democracy. So the skills connected with being a democratic citizen. And let's take that away right now from Democrats and Republicans. That's all people in a democracy. Mm. And so to do that, we have to have a definition of democracy. Remember those shows we did? A whole show, Tim.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Back on democracy where I say we could boil it down to one simple street level definition for democracy. Decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision. That means for a general idea, the public, the listener out there, if the decision impacts you, you ought to be participatory in that decision-making process. Well, what does it mean to be participatory? And I give you three things, right, Tim? Do you remember those three things? One, Everybody has a voice, and that voice is valued. So your participation, you can be assured you have a right to expressing your voice, your thoughts, your concerns, and that those are valued. Two, you have an obligation. You have a responsibility to participate in the decision-making. The decision is impacting you. You don't get to opt out. In fact, opting out is it's the worst form of participating in decision-making. Right. Everybody has a perspective. Everybody's perspective is valued. You have to participate. Third, it's all decisions are made in the interest of the common good. None of them are final because we aren't going to always get it right. And that's the complexity of democracy. We have to keep doing better. How we ask ourselves, how's it working? Let's listen to everybody who the decisions are impacting. Inevitably, we might have missed something or something played out differently than we expected. How do we revisit that? Okay, so we have the democratic process, right? That's in a nutshell. Well, how do we do that? That's a complicated process. So we can further distill that out into values.
All right.
Values that help us practice skills. Core democratic values, Tim. We'll share them in the podcast. So when people want to come back to this, they can go in there and they can grab into the description. Jess will throw them in there. A lot of teachers out there know. I say, hey, I teach core democratic values in social studies, elementary ed. It's in the curriculum in most states, almost all the states, if not officially, unofficially. It's in the weekly readers. It's in the social studies books. This isn't radical social studies. This isn't even what we would consider critical, although it is imminent that we practice and value and learn to recognize all the core democratic values. So that takes us into what is democracy in action? Tim, well, it's a little segment we do here on the show every day because we want to highlight where folks who are either our listeners, people out in the news, people in our circle, maybe somebody we're interviewing, is modeling democracy in action. It can be an opportunity for us to highlight and teach and share those core democratic values. Where did I pull that from? I pulled that right from the classroom.
Nice. Right?
So as a teacher doing this for a while now, I started to learn that, hey, you know what I needed to do is I needed to reinforce, like positively reinforce democratic citizenship in my classroom and to work with teachers on learning how to do that. So all the future teachers that take my class participate in a project called Democracy in Action, kind of like our daily segment. And what they do is they do projects with they design projects for their future elementary classrooms where their students are learning to recognize their democratic responsibilities, to practice their core democratic values, to strengthening their community, their classrooms, and their contributions. And what we call that is doing democracy in action, not just reading about it, not just having a one-off project. Like I love canned food drives. I like, you know, backpacks that we gather for people who might not have everything they need. I like all of those kinds of charitable things we do, but it's the day in and day out, things we do in our classrooms, we do in our communities that with intention, that they help us make habits of mind of core democratic values. And so, you know what? It seemed natural when we said, hey, let's do a daily segment on this. Why not? Do it every time I teach a class. Let's do it every time, Tim. We kind of teach our mini class here on Civic Media when we have the Busted Pencils show every evening. So we've had it all week. We had it last week. We're going to keep having it. Democracy in action. It is in every way, as you put, Tim, participatory, but it's an opportunity to practice skills related to values. And this is where I get into the current events of today, Tim. If we practice these values, and I come back to this, we'd have more capacity as individuals and as groups to understand that it's not about having the 10 commandments in your classroom or having a particular set of beliefs. It's converging on there's a common good out there that groups of people ought to, they really would like to see enacted in their communities, the baseline of how we get along with one another. I told y'all many times, listeners probably know already, I'm going, for me, it's human rights. And in fact, it's the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it's children's rights specifically. And I love that teacher Joanna a couple nights ago said for her, it's a big question. Do you really deeply care about all children? And if that's the case, the answer is yes. Then children's rights frame your classroom, right? They kind of frame how you're coming at this. So, you know, that's a little bit, I guess that's a little bit of the backstory on
that's
democracy,
a big,
and core democratic values, democracy, and teachable moments, Tim.
I love it. Johnny Lupinacci, what I like about this too is now think about this, the listener. I'm going to throw this out there. If you have examples of democracy in action, we would love to hear about them. Bring your democracy in action examples to the show every night because, man, the whole idea about democracy and being participatory is also let's build on this. Let's build the movement because democracy is an action in this realm here. We have to keep participating. Man, there's a lot going on. In fact, right now we're having a little bit of a participation in a discussion right now. LA Tom is dropping a lot. He's got a, you know, absolutely 100% saying, hey, in my view, he is a Joe Biden supporter. We need to let go. We need to move on. And it's time to just admit that Joe Biden is the candidate who's going to beat the liar, Trump. Well, L.A. Tom, I tell you what, when it comes, that's his guy. He's right. I guess maybe my old thing was too, and I'll admit this is that, you know, I was a reluctant Biden supporter in 2020 for the standpoint there, you know, because I think there should have been somebody else at that point. But once he was in, you know, absolutely. And I will say this too. If it comes down to it and he is the one running against the orange devil, he will absolutely get my vote. No doubt about it. Because, you know, Project 2025 truly is a blueprint for fascism and a disaster. And what we value incredibly right here at Busted Pencils, public education. I mean, Project 2025 is an absolute torpedo, not a turtle with a hand cranking type of little explosive that they're not going to be able to attach to the bottom of public education. No, Project 2025 is like a nuclear attack on public education. So if it comes down to President Biden being that candidate, it gets my vote, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, Tim, you know, we'll get into this. We'll talk more about it. And for me, I'm still in the stage of like, you send forward your best. And this is not an attack on Biden. And this is not, also, I want to like put out there, like, I'm not hyperbolizing like the opposition. Like, I don't want to go into like, everything's going to be doomed if Trump wins. I mean, like, that's obviously not something I even want to go towards. Because I think we have the opportunity to put forward the best. What I'll say by that is like, we're going to the Olympics are coming up in a couple of weeks. The best of the best competed to go and represent our country. We didn't pick some people that said, hey, you know what? They're kind of good. I mean, they might win. They're up a little, they have they're a fraction of a hair faster than their opposition. No, we picked the best of the best to represent our democracy to, you know, compete. And I'm not saying it's the same stakes. Because certainly athletics are not the same as politics, but there is political dimensions to athletics, and it's a metaphor here. I believe that we put forward the best of the best. And so even though it's like, it's going to be fun. And I think there's a lesson in here that we need to also carry forward is solidarity is really important. And Absolutely. We are not showing good solidarity for good reason, because I'll come back to it in the final segment because we got a little preview of our next week. But I want to talk about, like, it's super important to stand out. It's super important to have excellence and our best as the standard. And it's not right now. Okay. That's not me saying, like, I think that Joe Biden can't win. I don't think he's the best. And I think the best of the best should be who we put forward. We could talk about, we didn't send Caitlin Clark to the U.S. Olympic team. That was big on a lot of the sports podcasts and shows I listen to. And I'm part, right? I was like, hey, I get why. She's got some growing, some developing to do. But, you know, all the people that are going are the best of the best. And I think we should do the same in our politics.
And L.A. Tom here, too. L.A. Tom, I mean, definitely with you. And you know this, so we love you. But I'm a little bit, I want to challenge that we had primaries and Joe won those primaries.
We didn't have primaries.
I mean, did we really have primaries? Was there anybody allowed to actually challenge Biden? I mean, you know, people say, well, you know, in the primaries, Joe won all the primaries. Well, nobody was running against him. There was not a challenger. you know, and there, as you said, we didn't get to see the best emerge out of a field of many people vying for this. It was the presumption of this is the guy who's going to run. And I think for some of us like me, even that rubs me the wrong way. A presumption that somebody just gets it because they're supposed to. When you say there are some incredibly talented, powerful, very articulate and smart and passionate Democrats on that bench, let's bring them out. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's get a real taste of truly, Johnny, you know, democracy in action. Let's hear and let's then participatory and make decisions around the best for the common good. That's what we've been talking about here. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded. It's Education Talk. It's Educated Educators Talking Education. And it's TGIBPF. It's
yes,
thank
it
God
is.
It's Busted Pencils Friday. The number's 855-752-4842. Trivia, Tim's Trivia. We got it again. Rita, t-shirt coming your way. First use of a submarine in a military setting. The Turtle, 1776, the Revolutionary War, an attempt to take out the British warship HMS Eagle. Wah, wah, wah. Didn't work, though. It was there. Great for that. And now we're going at it. L.A. Tom, man, got a lot going on there, L.A. Tom. We're going to look at a bunch of these, bunch of your notes over the break here, Tom. We're going to come back. Busted Pencils and Johnny also, we're going to come back with that another new part. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, back after the break. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Coming into the last segment of the show. Yeah, L.A. Tom. Sorry you have laryngitis, our friend. Man, I was wondering. I'm like, man, he's just texting away. I'm like, whenever I start texting like that, I just pick up the phone and go, wait a minute, this is over. I got a call. Tom's got laryngitis, so that's why he's dropping so much in the texting for us there. Love it, L.A. Tom. And guess what? Yeah, we love you too, man. Always appreciating that. Busted Pencils, you know, L.A. Tom. Johnny Lupinacci. You heard this, you know, this other thing too. You were hinting on this idea of 20 for 21. Give me some more.
20 from the 21st.
20 from the 21st. Okay.
It's not 20 for 21.
Okay.
That's a whole different thing, you know, and I think you're getting it confused, not to be confused with ESPN's great 30 for 30, right? But it's 20 from the 21st. And we're taking that from Timothy Snyder's. Right on tyranny. Right, I almost missed.
Nice, you got it.
I didn't
though.
Shower yet today? That's when I practiced. I got it written and dry erase on my shower glass door.
Tyranny.
How to spell it? How to say it? How to spell it? So I practice it. So there's a great snappy little book, and we've also shared links to our listeners, and we'll put one in tonight's podcast too. So if you're going back and listening to this, you can grab it. You know, but we really want to emphasize that. Even bigger, and it's important that we have these political discussions, Tim. Like, we're always talking about public education and democracy and the politics of that as well. But even more important in this moment to us, or to me especially, is that, you know, we are really, when we say things like democracy is really on the line, this election is imminent, when we use these hyperbolic terms, right? I think it's really also a signifier and an indication that there's a lot at stake. It's really serious. And what can we do? For a lot of people, if you're like me, when I hear there's a big problem, I want to know how I can help. And beyond just the kind of obligatory, like, hey, we need to be more participatory. We need to have conversations, Tim, like we're having with LA Tom and with our callers and like Earl had with the president and the public is having with civic media. I think these are great moments for us to say and redefine what our relationship looks like, how we build trust and communication and solidarity among our differences. That's so important. So in that moment, I look to, you know, this snappy little list of things Timothy Snyder shares, right? On tyranny.
Tyranny. Lessons. Tyranny, yeah. Tyranny, there man.
You say how you want to say it, man. Where you're from. Potato, potato. Right? 20 lessons from the 21st century. And what they do is they kind of remind us of ways we can resist and avoid tyranny, right? Avoid fascist states taking over. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to theme those each week. And the one I'm going to premiere tonight, that the one of the lessons from the 20 from the 21st, right, that we're going to drop and theme all through next week. And it's, and I'm pointing to this Joe Biden conversation.
All right.
Right. Here's where it is. One of them is to stand out. Okay. One of the lessons in the 20 from the 21st is to stand out. Someone has to. Right. L.A. Tom reminds us we are government for the people, by the people. We the people are the government. Stand out. It's easy to follow along. Mm. It can feel strange to do or say something different, right? To go against the grain. And right now to say we want truth. We demand these kinds of principles. We want the best of the best to represent our democracy, right? That can feel strange and sometimes put you in precarious conversations. But without that unease, without being unease or no, without discomfort, there's no freedom, right? There's no freedom. Think about struggles like people like Rosa Parks, people like who have been real patriots to push for freedom, right? So that's the theme we're taking into next week. The lesson, one of the 20 lessons from the 21st century that we're going to theme throughout all next week. Come back to it as part of Democracy in Action, as part of Busted Pencils. Every day next week when you join us, listener. It's a reminder as you go into the weekend and we carry it into next week. Stand out.
Stand out.
Stand out. That's right. Stand out and stand up for your democracy. Little teaser. There's another lesson in there. Be a patriot. That was during the 4th of July, but it still carries with us because it's not just one per week. It's 20 all the time. 20. But let's carry with us into the theme next week. Standing out. I hope, listener, you stand out. Give us a call. Join us all week next week. Same time, same place. Civic Media. We appreciate you. Awesome. Let's go. Have a good
week. Awesome stuff. Absolutely. Johnny Lupinacci, love that, man. It is getting, lots.
And in my headphones. In my headphones, I'm hearing, in my imaginary world of, you know, punk rock excellence, I'm hearing a punk rock version of Space Odyssey 2001 that we're gonna rock out with you every Friday when we announce this theme. It just came to me. I think Jess and I are vibing on the same link. We're looking for something that's high energy, fully leaded. But also that bum, 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 right? We'll get it. Hey, remember, also, if you're out and about, especially if you're in Minocqua or you happen to be, you know, in the Madison area, the Minocqua Brewing Company sponsors Busted Pencils. And you know what? Can't say enough good things about the beer there, about the good folks, the good conversation. So if you can, check them out. You know, buy their beer. If you can't be there in person, look them up on the internet. They got all kinds of great stuff. Especially great beer they can ship out to you. It's making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. And you know what? One more beer never hurt. Let's throw one back this weekend, talk democracy, and stand out.
Stand out with your beer. L.A. Tom, man, Civic Media is the best. Busted Pencils, thank you for a good night. L.A. Tom, thank you so much for all of the dialogue. See, that you don't even have to call, Tom. You're putting out, you're giving us, he's standing out right there. L.A. Tom doing it, man. Giving us an example, being participatory, Johnny.
L.A. Those Tom words is Tom that we, Thumbs today. He's Tom Thumbs today.
Man, I'm telling you, my fingers are tired just thinking of all that typing he's been doing tonight. Wow, Busted Pencils. It's Friday. It's over almost already. It's over. Man, next week, though, talk about some pretty cool things. I'm going to tease the possibility of a pretty major guest next week, putting in the final touches to try to lock this in to have, but very, very, very big national type of guest, Johnny Lupinacci. I've been working on this for about 2 months. It looks like we're getting this person nailed in. He's going to put it out there. Very, very important to public education, this person who we're going to be talking to. Johnny Lupinacci, man. Jess, listener, L.A. Tom, Rita. Man, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see you all on Monday.